Chapter 30. Merging of Religions. About the importance of the mission of King Arthur of Britain, and the mysteries of Avalon, to prepare the way for the great energetic wedding. Adama of Telos and El Moria. Through Eve. October 18, 2009, November 5, 2009 and November 19, 2009. Eve. I hadn't even begun to think about this topic when, in May of this year, I was overcome with a great urgency to spend my vacation this year in Brittany. I just saw the beautiful lighthouses, the powerful Atlantic Ocean covering the sunken continent of Atlantis, and I just felt like I should spend some time there. When I arrived there in August, I was immediately taken by the powerful heritage that this land carries. I found myself in a land where the Breton language is still alive and Celtic, in appearance, where ancient formations of sacred stones are everywhere just around the corner, and where the clear waters of the Atlantic Ocean seem to glisten with gold particles from sunken temples. When I had to drive home again, something triggered a flood of tears in me, and I couldn't stop for half an hour. I was pretty sure I had been there before in the old days, everything felt so familiar. A few weeks later I felt a strong need to reread the book, The Mists of Avalon, which seems to me to be an accurate retelling of the incarnation of King Arthur. I searched for the book like crazy, only to find that some midwayer had placed it so right under my nose that I didn't even notice it right away. When I first read this book, I resonated with it very strongly. But that was before my real awakening, and I hadn't thought about it for such a long time. When I say I resonated with it the first time, please don't ask me what happened when I opened it again now at a random point in the middle and started reading. It just swept me away. Suddenly I had clear images, like seeing old incarnations again, and I could feel the energetic vibrations that were almost like I was in that movie. So I contacted Adama for a conversation. Hi, Adama, the story of King Arthur is so present recently. If I'm not mistaken, he had a love triangle with his friend and knight Lancelot and with Guinevere, his wife. Such a tragedy. Gwen loved Lance, right? Adama, that's how it was. Aye, and who did Arthur really love? A, he loved Guinevere, but he also loved his sister Morgaine. And certainly, he loved Lancelot as his dearest and most connected friend. Arthur needed a wife who was totally devoted to Christ Jesus. Morgaine was his sister, and as a Celtic priestess could never have met the requirements for implementing the Christ teachings. As the Celtic priestess that she was only able to see the error of the Christian Church, which turned out to be itself the enemy of the Great Goddess. She could not see that the Great Goddess is the female consort of Christ Nebedonia, Isis, Shakti, whatever she is called by various names. And vice versa, the Christian Church could not see that their idol Christ could have a female partner. They were just anxious to destroy the feminine aspects and the Celtic heritage. Aye, sounds like there was a higher plan for the incarnation of Arthur? Eh, you can bet on it. In a way, one could say that the incarnation of King Arthur, a role taken by El Moria, had almost a similar importance as the incarnation of Christ himself, and certainly it was planned with the same care as the incarnation of Emmanuel Jesus. The most important roles were filled by masters to ensure the best possible outcome. An optimal goal was defined as well as a minimum goal for this mission. The optimum would have been a fusion of both teachings, the Celtic and the Christian. This was the goal of the action. This fusion was present for a while in the form of King Arthur, who served Christ as well as the Great Goddess. But the supervisory councils of the religions were already in separation. Both the Church and the Order of the Great Goddess, let us say, their earthly guardians insisted on bringing the only valid doctrine. Arthur was for a while at least the common denominator, and the two women he truly loved pulled him in different directions. But he remained steadfast with both banners as long as he was able, and he brought the country a long period of peace. A mighty job El Moria did, as you know. However, when it proved impossible to merge the Celtic heritage with the new teachings of the Christ in a forward-looking way, a decision had to be made. Morgaine was at the mercy of the temptation to pit her son against her brother Arthur, who was also the son's father, even though the son had been fathered by Arthur in a Celtic initiation ritual and was therefore considered the son of the goddess, with the goal of disempowering Arthur in favor of regaining the influence of the Great Goddess. Guinevere, Arthur's Christian wife, was blind to the intrigues and blind in her faith in the Church. She was also divided within herself, for she loved Lance, King Arthur's first knight, and so there were sufficient challenges for all. In the end, it was time to decide. Maintaining the Celtic heritage would have meant that the incarnation of Christ could not have grown in stature as it had been intended. Thus, thanks to the devotion of Guinevere, a step in the right direction was taken. The results, of course, were once again misled by the Church and abused by the dark controllers. The seed is white and radiant, and then it grows differently than originally planned due to adverse circumstances. Gwen's problem was her rejection of the teachings of Avalon. The church had already sown destructive seeds and she didn't realize it. It dawned on Arthur, but he would have needed her recognition as well, which was not the case. All in all, they did the best they could, and Gwen and Arthur were truly a couple of great radiance, and they contributed mightily by giving space to the stabilization of Christ's bestowal, due in large part to their efforts. Think about the blessing of having now another chance for the union of the Christian teachings with the Order of the Great Goddess. This is the goal, the path you are walking. The coming time will give you a review of humanity's contribution to planetary history, and planetary history in general. For the coming home, it is essential to know the truth, because many questions will arise. I should ask you on behalf of El Moria to contact him, because he too would like to comment on the merging of religions. If you need support, you can always count on me, beloved ones. I will always be there for you. Adama. This morning I finally found the time to make the desired contact. Good morning, Eve, it's El Moria. I am glad that you are finally open to contacting me. Truly, I have been prepared for this for a while and have been looking forward to speaking with you. Your or Adama's big topic is the merging of religions, and I would like to comment on the incarnation of King Arthur. First of all, yes, even if your scientists still doubt he existed, I should know that, because this was my mission. This mission was clearly connected to the great revelations that took place through the bestowal of Christ. In history, many important missions have been distorted or erased from the record because there were not enough promoters to carry the message. And often disasters have also erased documentation and the spoken word. Look at what is left of the story of Adam and Eve. This was a great mission, one of the great revelations, but what Eve did her, failure, has been ridiculed throughout and put into the story of eating an apple. Forget the apple story, dear ones. Adam and Eve came here as highly educated personalities, from the sphere of Jerusalem. They had a high rank in the universal hierarchy. They were experienced workers in the universal laboratories and members of the Order of Planetary. Adams and Eves, who are generally sent to planets in need of revelation. They knew their job well and committed themselves as requested to complete the job without further celestial assistance, in quarantine. Now, on this particular planet of Urantia, things did not go as well as had been hoped. Adam and Eve were not allowed to mix their DNA with the ordinary people who were settled here. Their mission was about implementing the higher DNA through procreation, exclusively from the mixed DNA of Adam and Eve and their direct descendants, as well as teaching. It was not out of greed for personal gain that Eve violated the agreement, and in compassion gave her DNA to the common people. It was her conscious decision enacted out of the desire of service to humanity. Adam was very much affected by Eve's decision, and therefore he showed solidarity with Eve so that she would not have to bear the consequences of the breach of contract alone. Adam also passed on his DNA beyond the given framework in order to place himself on the same level as Eve. The consequences were that Adam and Eve had to leave the garden they were living in, and both lost all the privileges they had previously enjoyed. After their earthly life ended, they were held accountable for having violated the covenant, but God is truly love and Christ rehabilitated them. Now they are both members of the Urantia Planetary Council. So much for this topic, just to give you an example of how information can be lost, diminished, ridiculed. And think about how many women in history have been tortured just because of a nightmare that man calls original sin of Eve. This failed mission certainly had consequences for all people who have lived on Earth, but what uneducated, greedy, and naive people have made of it cannot really be attributed to Eve. So then, when Christ made his bestowal, we had already had some failures. For this reason, we dealt with this situation accordingly from the beginning, and discussed how we could strengthen the mission so that it would last the years until the beginning of the Aquarian Age, when the Earth would finally be ready to be taken out of quarantine. We carefully analyzed the status of religion down there on Urantia. The mission of Christ had been prepared by our previous mission of Mashaventa, who worked with Abraham. Then Christ himself incarnated to sow the seed directly. So, the preparation and the main act had been planned, but we agreed that there would be a need for stabilization of what had been sown. On the one hand, we had few people spreading the word of Christ, and on the other hand, we found the great Celtic religion, vast and worshipping the Universal Mother. The Celtic belief system was nothing but a remnant from the sunken Atlantis, but not as high vibrational as in the heyday of Atlantis or ancient Egypt. It was a low-frequency addition, and it worshipped the great Mother Goddess, and still had some knowledge of the mysteries. So, the question arose how it would be possible to put more emphasis on the teachings of Christ the Father, although in comparison with the Celtic faith there were only a smaller number of followers. In addition, there were then some remains of the Anunnaki gods of Rome. you will understand that another powerful mission was necessary to create more balance between the mother religion and that of the father. Such an important mission required much wisdom and courage, as well as strength. As you will know, I am the ruler of the Blue Ray, which is the heavenly ray of courage and power. I was asked to take the main role of the mission, which had two main directions, an optimum and a minimum goal. The optimum had only a lesser chance of manifesting the merging of the male and female religions, the Christian and the Celtic. The minimum goal, however, was the strengthening of the Christian teachings, which included, if not otherwise possible, taking power away from the Celtic religion. The idea was to have a great king of Britain who would be grounded in both the Celtic belief system and the Christian faith, to be a bridge between the two branches. It could have worked if the Christian belief system had not already been so distorted by the people church and there was not so much intolerance on all sides. When the Celtic priests saw how the Christian priests did not respect the great goddess, who is none other than our beloved Nebedonia, how they cut down the sacred trees to build churches there, condemned the divine expression of sexuality, there was then no room for tolerance, although it must be said that the Celts were more open to the Christian teachings than the other way around. The Christian priests also had no tolerance, and they accused the Celtic priests of being sorcerers and godless witches. Both parties claimed to have least the truth, and they had no room in their minds and hearts for the idea of one God, with a male and female aspect in perfect balance. On the Christian side, there was so much greed for power, the dogma grew and grew, and so by the time of Arthur's incarnation the train had almost sailed, and with it the optimum that could have been achieved. So only the minimum goal remained. To achieve this, Arthur needed a Christian woman at his side. If he had married a Celtic priestess, the mission would have been endangered. The Christian Gwenifar had a powerful influence on Arthur, he honored her greatly, and so it came to pass that Arthur stood up for Christ, even though he also wore the snake tattoos of the goddess. The snakes are a symbol of the order of the great goddess, but you can also find them in the order of Isis, and Mary Magdalene also wore them, for she was a priestess of the order of Isis when she took her place at the side of Christ Emmanuel, whom you call Jesus. The snakes also symbolize the Kundalini energy, which is a very powerful tool. The church teachings put the serpent as the seduction of Eve, so sharing DNA may have something to do with Kundalini energy but nothing to do with sin in general. They merely passed it on to Eve and then generalized it, as a vile tool of separation between man and woman. When I was initiated as Arthur in this previous incarnation, I also had to undergo the ritual of the Great Marriage with the Earth. As a symbol of this initiation, I received the snake tattoo on my wrist. Because of these snakes, the Christian people put pressure on me, because I had promised to serve the followers of the Celtic faith as well as the followers of the Christian faith. They did not publicly call me a sinner, as happened to Magdalene at Jesus' side, who was called a whore, but it would be an illusion to believe that certain people would not have given me titles that were anything but friendly. I was not able to maintain the balance, although I worked hard to try. When I realized that the time had come for a decision, I decided to put greater emphasis on Christian teachings so that CM's mission would not evaporate. This is how many people remember Arthur. They see him as the Christian king who helped spread the Christian faith. There were, of course, forces bent on revenge. So, it was arranged that I had a son from the ritual of the Great Marriage, born of my idolized sister Morgaine, the priestess of Avalon. Certain forces also arranged for my wife Gwen to be denied children by a Rael act that sprang from a lower spirit. She was not granted to bring a single baby into being. These arrangements came from the Celtic lineage, but the Christian priests, of course, called it God-willed. Truly, this was not an act of God, merely the earthly expression of resistance from the mother religion, which was doomed to freeze. Finally, my life ended at the hands of my one and only son, who did not have enough discernment to realize how he was being used as an instrument of murder against his own father. They told him I had broken the promise I had made to Avalon. Well, I just co-created my reality and did what I thought I had to do. The goal was still to strengthen the Christian faith, and I fulfilled that. Deciding for something usually means deciding against something else at the same time. Even my death at the hands of my son contributed to weakening the legacy of the Celtic faith. Please see, Christ and Nebedonia are one. They represent the male and female aspects. One cannot evolve if it cuts off the other aspect. The goal is the fusion of the female and the masculine aspects of religion. It was a mistake of the Celtic faith to overemphasize the feminine part, and was a mistake of man in spreading the Christian religion to condemn and split off the feminine aspect. Healing both means taking the lost aspects out of quarantine, honoring them again as the divine aspects they truly are. Finally, over the centuries, the Christian faith has been stabilized. What is happening now is the readdition of the female aspects, which must be recognized and honored. No man can be born through a man. It is always the woman who gives birth to a child. To deny the feminine aspect is to deny the chalice of one's origin. The future on this planet will no longer have room for such denials. Either you realize this, dear ones, or you leave this theater. This planet is going and striding towards completion. This is the time of great revelations and acceptance. Coming back to my incarnation as Arthur of Great Britain, or as he was also called, Arthur Pendragon, I was very grateful to all the dear starseed souls who helped me to achieve the goal. They were wisely placed in their incarnational roles to ensure the best possible success. At this point, I express my deepest gratitude to the loved ones who have supported me in this mighty mission of incarnation, to the dear knights at my side, many of whom are still incarnated in Earth missions, as well as to my former wife, mother, sister, the Merlin of Britain, Saint Germain, and all other humble service bearers, accept my deepest thanks. It was handed down that King Arthur brought peace and unified the land. So, let's say I just did my best, together with the team. What I ask of you all now is that you also do your best for the minimum goal, on which the focus now rests. The minimum goal is the merging of religions. What God has joined together, what He intended to bring together in unity, the masculine and feminine in balance, shall no longer be separate. You must join hands and hearts to unite what belongs together. This is the time when religions are uniting again to form the one great truth of the Christ. Until now, the Christ teachings offered by the churches have only given a very small piece of the whole pie. The Celtic cross looks very similar to the balanced Christ cross. Think about it. It is up to you to give religion a new face. First comes knowledge, then comes action. This is the time to complete the mission of King Artus, and to complete the mission of Christ. Thanks for listening. This is El Moria, Ascended Master of the Blu-ray. Now here's Adama again. You see, it's not just the mists of Avalon, it's more about the mysteries of Avalon. Avalon is a 5D aspect, a kind of portal. It was closed for security reasons, but with the rising consciousness it will be opened again. It is up to humanity to open the heart again and let the mysteries of Avalon integrate again. Some of you can even already perceive the etheric crystal cities. And likewise, Avalon will become more touchable again. Mysticism tells about the many apple trees of Avalon. Avalon was a source of wisdom, and here we come back to what your Bible tells us: Eve tasted the apple. The apple has become a symbol of consciousness, of wisdom, and knowledge. And therefore, the church emphasizes the sin of Eve and blames her for her need to learn and know. In plain language, never ever would Christ have instructed Adam and Eve to remain ignorant. This idea alone seems ridiculous to those who have already experienced the closeness and concern of the loving parenthood of Christ and his female counterpart. Parents want their children to learn and grow up. Keeping one's children stupid, bound to parents, and uneducated has nothing to do with divine aspects, only with selfishness and greed for control and power. Now, what about the background of the apple tree story? In fact, in the garden of Adam and Eve, there was a special tree planted with fruits that served the mission of Adam and Eve. When they had to leave the garden, they were not allowed to take the tree with them. The result was aging and mortality. Again, it is not a sin to strive for education. Rather, it is a sin not to seek learning. Seeking wisdom will never be punishable. However, there are problems when a knowledgeable person passes on wisdom to people who are not yet ready to handle it. Compassion is not enough to justify this. This was Eve's failure, that she passed on her DNA to people who were not ready for it, and so she broke the contract. But all of us in the know have learned from what has happened. Urantia is a unique place, and hopefully, thanks to what we have learned here, there will never be another planet in this universe that is in so much trouble. Christ has provided a happy ending for you, and as always, this ending is synonymous with a new beginning. There will be a time when the documentation of history will be officially corrected. This will be one of the first actions taken, because conclusions are drawn from incorrect documentation that do not serve. And likewise, inferences from true history can be highly useful. Revealing the history and truth which is not distorted by man is an absolute must for the development in the direction of Christ Michael's goal. This goal is now a go for all. The solution book is included in the Book of Historical Questions. The Apple of Knowledge is now offered to each and every one of you, whether your name is Adam or Eve or whatever. Once you understand, you can make this whole planet a planet of apple trees. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon this world, and therefore, beloved ones, see that you prove yourselves worthy of Him, as recipients of this heavenly blessing. Contribute to the merging of religions, male and female aspects, on the road to home and unity. Start from yourselves. What keeps you from living these aspects? Do you still have homework to do? The whole picture consists of myriads of small facets of the individual beings. Merge your masculine and feminine aspects. Live your love. Do not sacrifice yourselves. Still a long way to go, you say? Take the first step and then one by one. Keep moving, dear ones, and keep planting apple trees. Eat as much as you can of the best apple variety available, the CM special. Adam and Eve Jonagold. I press you to my heart, this is Adama. 1st of May 2009. The apple tree that grew for you and me.